Hi everybody. Welcome to the live retail online integration webinar, Shipping Made Easy, Top Retailer Shipping Tips. I'm Melissa, sponsored by Endesha. I'm Melissa Campanelli, Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's live event. You know that shipping is an integral part of selling online. After all, it's tough to sell if you can't ship. Cart abandonment peaked when shipping costs are revealed, and now customers are demanding free shipping and returns. Many retailers have negotiated lower FedEx and UPS rates, but may not have optimized their shipping by cost in transit. Plus, FedEx and UPS will soon change the way ground costs are determined, so now is the time to reevaluate to see if the USPS products can lower your costs and perhaps even improve service. In today's webinar, we'll learn about USPS products and pricing, ounce-based, cubic, and regional pricing, and flat rate programs that can reduce parcel costs up to 70%, discounts on USPS shipping products, how a well-designed returns program can drive sales growth and customer retention, and how Endesha's electronic postage technologies and services can help you save time and money. To guide us through this information, we have two great speakers today. Gordon Glazer, the Director of Strategic Partnerships for Shipware, and Jessica Falk, the Product Marketing Manager at Endesha. They'll both tell you a little bit more about themselves during their presentation. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, simply troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with the question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Also, please turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets at the bottom of this console. And remember, your console is interactive. Click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your experience today. So now on to the great information and the great webinar. So here to discuss today's topic, take it away, Gordon.
Greetings. It's my pleasure to be presenting to you today. We have some great strategies to discuss, and we're going to cover some strategies to help you lower your costs and increase your order conversion. And by the way, today, in case you didn't know, it's National PCC Day. PCC is the Postal Customer Council, and it is a great organization and resource to network with key postal employees and industry peers. So let's get started. I thought it'd be great if we start off by tackling the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the demand for free shipping. With high shipping costs on the one hand, and on the other, consumers are demanding low shipping fees, or worse yet, free shipping. In a recent NRF study, that's the National Retail Federation study, in which online buyers were asked to choose among the five most popular promotions when shopping online, 85% chose free standard shipping without conditions. In fact, free shipping was chosen 166% more than the next best promotion. And while the right shipping policy can be a competitive differentiator, the wrong policy can absolutely hamper the success of your online business. So why do shoppers abandon carts? According to Forrester Research, they reported the number one reason is the perception that shipping costs are too high. In the survey, 6% of online buyers abandoned their carts because they thought it would take too long for the product to arrive, while 44% balked at the price of shipping and ditched their carts. In the latest ComScore study, 57% leave their carts to comparison shop. So is your online shipping policy costing you sales, or is it a competitive advantage? Earlier, I mentioned that NRF study that cited free shipping as the number one purchase incentive. In another study, Boston Consulting Group found that shoppers actually want free shipping more than they want lower prices in the products they're buying. Other research shows that 20% of consumers cite free shipping as the single most important factor in where they shop online. And 19% say they'll pay full price for an item if free shipping is offered. And many of you are heeding the call. The numbers are based on the source, but some type of free shipping is being offered by 47 to 62% of all online retailers. The conclusions from the latest 2014 ComScore study revealed that upfront, all-in pricing drives the selection process across all channels. And what is apparent is that it does not take much for the prospective consumer to lose interest and go elsewhere. With so many online choices, low prices are expected, and clear upfront terms and costs are required. Free shipping allows shoppers the ability to skip the extra step of having to add the item to the cart to determine the final price. In fact, when free shipping is offered, it removes four of the top five reasons why consumers abandon their carts. So here are some key takeaways from the 2014 ComScore study. Four out of five consumers want a free shipping option, and 57% of shoppers abandon their carts to comparison shop. And here is a big gotcha you need to watch out for when offering free shipping. 50% of consumers abandon carts because of either a lengthy delivery time or when no delivery date is specified. So what's too long? Survey says. Well, they surveyed that, and the answer is 7 days is the average time shoppers are willing to wait. And finally, the speed of getting their item is the fourth most important factor when comparing retailers. Here is the piece that emphasizes the need for that estimated delivery date. Two of the top three options consumers value most when checking out have to do with an estimated delivery date. Overall, 55% of their concerns when checking out relate to shipping. So what can shippers do? So given that shipping costs continue to rise and your customers want free shipping and returns, while product margins are being squeezed through increased competition such as Amazon's influence, and what in the world can shippers do to improve shipping costs? First off, let me say I don't believe there's only one right approach or strategy that will allow every company to solve the free shipping challenge. For some of you, today's discussion will simply serve to validate your current course of direction. But hopefully, many of you will gain new insight to lower shipping costs, avoid common mistakes, convert more carts to sales, and in short, make shipping a competitive advantage for your business. So we have 10 strategies that I'm going to go over, and let's briefly touch upon some of the better-known ones. The first one is to offer free or low-cost shipping through a membership program. We all know about the success of Amazon Prime. Yet few companies have the market strength to make a membership program work. The next one, number two, is offering free shipping if the dollar value exceeds a set threshold. It's another page right out of the Amazon playbook. If you're not an Amazon Prime member and still want free shipping, Amazon says, no problem. Just increase your order size to more than $35 and we'll throw in the shipping. It's a great way to increase order value. In 2012 ComScore study, they showed that 76% of shippers will actually add items to their carts to qualify for free shipping. And in the 2014 follow-up study, this percentage grew to 93%. Number three, for those online retailers that have a brick-and-mortar presence, shipping to the store makes a lot of sense. Besides the incremental sales achieved by consumers adding to their purchases when they pick up their items, we're seeing a surge in the retail stores becoming mini distribution centers by shipping from the store, both to lower inventory and transit costs, by shipping closer to the end user. And number four is to build into cost. Zappos is a great example of this. They're able to collect close to 100% margins in an extremely competitive and, in many cases, low-margin shoe industry, in part by offering free shipping and returns. Number five is really a hybrid of number four, and that is to advertise free shipping, promote free shipping, do free shipping, but only on those products where it makes the most sense. Stay away from those items in which you'll incur dimensional or oversized charges, high insurance fees, or other costs, and consider offering free only on higher margin products that can absorb the additional shipping expense. A great example of this is that only about 10% of Amazon's physical items are available for Prime, according to Baird Equity Research. Okay, so with these next five strategies, we're going to go into a little bit more depth. So number six, per the ComScore study, 83% of consumers say they will wait an additional 2 days or more to receive free shipping. And as I mentioned earlier, 7 days is the average time shoppers are willing to wait for delivery. So what do we mean by deferred ground? I'm referring to a category of freight made popular by UPS SurePost and FedEx SmartPost. It is a hybrid, non-guaranteed service combining parcel consolidators, workshare incentives, and handoff to the United States Postal Service for the last mile delivery. It is, at its core, Parcel Select. Parcel Select is typically made available to the marketplace through consolidators. as few have the volume or wherewithal to sort and transport deep into the USPS network. There are many consolidators in the marketplace with varying strengths and weaknesses, and what might work best for one client in a specific location will likely not be the best fit for a different shipper somewhere else. It is somewhat of an oxymoron, but there are expedited service levels available for some providers. Some specialize in the under a pound category, while others offer very aggressive rates for packages with smaller dimensions. Some have difficulty processing larger sizes and discourage use by expensive dimensional policies, yet they all have different strategies on how they hand the packages off to the USPS, how deep in the network they hand them off. And when comparing providers, it is important to factor in fuel concessions, DAS, which is delivery area surcharges, surcharges in addition for non-machinable, balloon, and oversize. And they all vary on these extra charges as they are a function of their individual cost to serve. Here's a snapshot of some of the better-known aggregators. FedEx SmartPost is the largest player with about 40% market share. UPS, including UPS Mail Innovations and UPS SurePost, has 20% market share. The balance is made up of smaller growing consolidators like Blue Package Delivery, Newgistics, DHL Global Mail, and OSM Worldwide. And many of these providers also provide other services like Canadian Induction, Bound Printed Matter, Marketing Parcels, and Standard Mail. So number seven, so whether you ship deferred ground or regular air and ground, it's critical to negotiate the best discounts and terms available. We look at client contracts every day, and what we find is that 9 out of 10 are not optimized. Typical savings from our contract optimization process alone averages over 10%. However, to really get the maximum savings requires modal optimization, which we're going to cover in number 9. And it wasn't that long ago for us old-timers when there was a lot more players in the marketplace. There's a lot less competition today. So the good news is that the remaining two are very fierce competitors, and when you add the United States Postal Service into the mix, truly great things can happen. So how does a shipper get a best-in-class contract? And unless you have some very talented people on your team, you're not likely going to reach best-in-class without outside help. Third-party consultants who specialize in this area can work with your team. But due to the restrictions the private carriers have put into place, we work in the background to help you achieve fantastic results. For Shipware and the clients that we work with improving parcel agreements, it's a five-step process. And by the time we have finished the first four steps, we will be armed with historical data, have a very clear understanding of your current pricing agreement, and how your rates and terms compare to similar industries. And then we dig deep into the data to understand several important pieces, such as minimum charge and dimensional impact. As part of our process, we'll also parse out volume we determine to be modally optimized. And the last step is to introduce credible competition into the negotiation process, and because without the threat of competition, the incumbent carrier will never provide best-in-class pricing. Now, even if you don't have any desire to leave your primary carrier, the competitor carrier should be warmly embraced and courted. Once we get the bids back and the return and we analyze them, we know exactly how much savings each proposal provides. And it generally takes a couple rounds to get to the end goal. But by the end, our clients become the new benchmark for best in class. The shipping landscape has been jolted with two major changes. The first is the upcoming removal of the cubic dimensional threshold for both UPS and FedEx Ground. And the second is that the United States Postal Service has responded by slashing prices for higher volume shippers, and this is in the inner zones and heavier weights where they have not competed well in the past. So let's back up a second and cover what do we mean by dimensional charges. It's another way that carriers charge based upon volume, not weight. You can calculate how dimensional costs impact your spend by figuring out the difference between your total entered weight versus the actual billed weight, and multiply by your average cost per pound. In 2011, both UPS and FedEx changed the dimensional divisor for domestic shipments from a 194 to a 166. This is the number that the combination of length times width times height is divided by. The result becomes the new billed weight. The higher the dim factor, the lower the impact. This one small change resulted in an average increase of 17% for those impacted boxes. The DIM is currently applied to all air shipments and for ground packages that exceed 5,184 cubic inches, which is equal to 3 cubic feet. This is what is meant by the cubic threshold. Anyway, that one change back in 2011 resulted in a $500 million swing, $500 million out of shippers' pockets and into the FedEx UPS coffers with just one small change to the service guide. Let's fast forward to this year, and if you haven't heard, both FedEx and UPS have announced that it will be changing their dimensional policy for ground and FedEx home delivery shipments. In what promises to be the mother of all rate increases, ground packages will lose that three-foot cubic exception, and customers will be charged the actual weight or the DIM weight for all ground shipments. Shipware analyzed what this impact would be to U.S. shippers, and what we found was that seven of the top 25 boxes used in the United States were already affected by the current DIM policy. Those are the ones in the blue in the box on the right. Starting next year, 15 boxes, the ones in yellow, will be added to that impacted list, bringing the total to 22 of the top 25 box sizes sold in this country. As an example, let's take a look at the impact to a 1-cubic-foot box you'll see with a red circle. It's a 12-by-12-by-12 box dims to 11 pounds, and you'll see this later in a United States Postal Service ad. Here's an example of a potential impact to an e-tailer. This current client is a $7 million shipper, and as part of our analysis, we wanted to determine the impact for the removal of the ground cubic threshold. First, we knew the dimensional impact was 286,000. That's the box on the left. You can see based on the difference between the build versus entered weight. And now, without any changes, the removal of the ground cubic threshold will add about $1 million to the net transportation costs. And this is not atypical. Plain and simple, what we are seeing is a dramatic change to the shipping landscape. So what to do? It's time to take a fresh look at methods and process. The cost of shipping will be based upon both weight and cube. And while you may be able to mitigate these costs in the short term, it is not going to go away. Look for opportunities to reduce fill. Above are three different packages received at my home. It's no wonder why the carriers feel the need to change, as all this air costs them in capacity in their trucks. So number eight is distribution centers. Some of you on the call operate multiple DCs. Some have just one. Still others drop ship from vendor locations and don't have any DCs. Of course, where you place a distribution or fulfillment center affects the distance your product is from your customer, which impacts two key areas. One is how long it will take for a package to reach your customer, and two, how much will it cost? We regularly perform DC site analysis for clients to help them determine the right mix for their business, which brings us to number nine, modal optimization. You may be wondering, what does modal optimization mean? In a nutshell, modal optimization is the tactical movement of selected freight between service types and carriers to drive savings, and for some strategies, improve transit times for both inbound and outbound packages. There are over a dozen strategies we analyze, a few of which are shown here. Depending on which strategy you employ or combination of strategies, costs can be quite dramatic. Or I should say cost savings can be quite dramatic. Here's a recent USPS modal optimization analysis I ran. This UPS shipper was spending about $4.3 million annually, and about a quarter of his packages could be diverted from UPS to the Postal Service for an annual savings of about $1.1 million to $1.7 million a year. That represents a 25 to 39% savings on the total net spend. Keep in mind that the client was able to achieve these savings while continuing to use the UPS for the majority of their packages while experiencing an improved transit service on the packages that moved over to the Postal Service. When comparing costs, it's critical to add up all the costs when comparing against the United States Postal Service, because the post office basically charges up front for freight with no surprise back billings. UPS and FedEx accessorial charges account for 15 to over 30% of the overall net spend. And it's not unusual for accessorial charges to actually eclipse the freight charges, as you can see in this example. It gets even more dramatic if I were to include something like a $16 Saturday pickup fee or $11.35 address correction fee. And let's not forget about the dim charges or minimum charges that can quickly evaporate even the greatest discount. Consumers want free shipping and free returns. However, UPS and FedEx are the only surviving private carriers and are returning record profits by discouraging USPS and regional competition through revenue-based incentives, reduced dim divisors, new ground dimensional pricing, general rate increases, new and higher accessorial charges. And they muzzle your complaints by offering bigger discounts and volume growth-based incentives. Meanwhile, minimum charges increase along with accessorial charges that eat away any gains you thought you had. Okay, let's click the next one. Okay, so have you ever been told that you have the best discount program your rep has ever seen for a company of your size? If everybody could please submit an answer, we'll all get to see the results. In addition, the contracts are getting more and more complex with multiple tariffs, different fuel surcharges, minimum commitments, early termination clauses, ground service refund waivers, contract exclusions, while putting restrictions on using market experts. E-tailers are stuck between the proverbial rock and a hard space, and what should you do? Well, you've taken the first step to consider alternatives, and for that, I congratulate you. My suggestion is to consider having third-party consultant not only help you optimize your existing parcel contracts, but look into those modal optimization strategies. Not many companies do both, as the strategies are diametrically opposed to one another. Contract optimization requires maximum shipping volume to drive the deepest discounts, while modal optimization strategies will dilute this revenue. What we found, though, is a combined balance approach will always drive the greatest results, and we have clients who are enjoying over 40% in shipping savings, so we know it works. As a bonus, the process often reveals key routing mistakes. We have seen single errors accounting for millions of dollars in wasted spend. Let's see. Okay, so 58% of us, almost 60%, have been told that you have the very best contract for a company of your size. Can't all have it. So, this is a perfect storm. Enter the United States Postal Service. And the U.S. Postal Service competition is offering up higher rates and new dim pricing, in effect creating this perfect storm for change. On the left, you check out the recent how much does this one-pound box weigh ad. So this is that one-pound box that dims out at 11 pounds. The post office is pouncing on this opportunity like a duck on a June bug. The new rate reductions are targeted to high-volume shippers for zones 2 through 5, which cover shipments that travel up to 1,000 miles and weigh between 3 and 40 pounds. So why the change? Because they can take advantage of their ground transportation network, where the outer zones, they utilize FedEx for air transportation. So they control these costs. And the Postal Service is now clearly targeting heavier, lower-zone UPS and FedEx ground shipments, which will soon be subject to that 166 dim factor. For priority mail, only zones 5 and up are subject to a dim factor and the more favorable 194 factor. And that's only if the package exceeds 1 cubic foot in size. Zones 2 through 4 are not subject to a dim. For those unfamiliar with the postal shipping services, here's a quick snapshot. For most of you, first-class mail, priority mail, parcel select, and returns offer up the greatest opportunity for modal optimization. There hasn't been a ton of positive press for the USPS, but package growth along with direct mail are the shining stars. For the first 9 months of the fiscal year, going from October of 13 through June of 14, the shipping and package segment increased volume 8.5% and revenue by 9.7%. Within the segment, Parcel Select is leading the growth with an increase in volume of 12.8% and revenue growth of almost 26% in the past 9 months. Next is First Class Packages. They're up 11.7% volume and 19.8% in revenue for the same time period. So no presentation on USPS benefits would be complete without mentioning these unique advantages. You probably all heard these, so I'm going to roll through them pretty quick. But there's no accessorial surcharges like residential add-on fees, delivery area and fuel surcharges, address correction fees, and the like. You can get free premium packaging for Priority Mail and Priority Mail Express products. and you can have that packaging customized for you and your company as well. There's free Saturday delivery that's an additional 52 days of delivery a year, including 5 to 6 more delivery days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's the only choice to over 20 million APO, FPO, DPO. That means air post offices, fleet post office, diplomatic post offices, and post office boxes that the private carriers can't deliver to. And it's a low-cost choice for offshore shipments like Alaska, Hawaii, as well as all the U.S. territories, which are delivered like domestic shipments. And there's no complex contract, even CPP and custom rates, and which I'll explain later, but CPP is the a volume discounted rate. And the NSAs, which are negotiated service agreements, they are less complicated than most FedEx and UPS revenue-based contracts. On the left is a UPS ground transit map with Fort Myers, Florida, as a point of origination. Okay, so we're going to compare transit time. So UPS transit commitment is 1 to 7 days. Now, if we compare that with the USPS map on the right using priority mail, the majority of the country you can see is served in 2 days, which is shown in red. Speaking of priority mail, the Postal Service has made significant improvements to the product. They've improved tracking with more frequent scanning events, including a real-time final delivery scan, and tracking, of course, is now free. The service used to be a 1 to 3 day service, and now it's a 1, 2, or 3 day defined service, delivery service, and it comes now with $50 of free insurance for base clients, which is the standard rates, while CPP clients get that $100 in free insurance. So let's cover the three most popular outbound options for e-tailers. The chart above is a first-class package service chart, and the service standards are 1 to 3 days. USPS tracking is included at no extra charge. Now, this is an ounce-based service, and Parcel Select Lightweight is also ounce-based, which is part of that Parcel Select hybrid product we covered earlier. Think of UPS, Mail Innovation, Smart Post, and the like. So the single piece highlighted in red rates range from $1.93 to $4.05. And if we compare that with a $6.24 minimum charge for FedEx and UPS ground 1 to 5 day service, not to mention additional fuel and other surcharges, you can see how the post office is a better bet, especially in that under 1 pound, almost always. So Priority Mail has both weight and zone options as well as flat rate options. And there's 4 different price categories you should understand. Why is it not showing up? Click it again. Yeah, you're going to have to click through it. That's strange. Okay. So think of the let's talk about those 4 different price categories. Go ahead and fill it all the way up. Think the first one's retail. Think about grandma going to the post office. She goes to the counter to send a package. That's retail, and that's not for you. Commercial-based pricing is likely what most of you on this webinar are getting, and it does not have any volume requirements. And these reduced rates are available for customers who use PC postage products like Indicia, right? Permit imprints, and also some digital mailing systems that submit the data electronically to the USPS. Eligibility for Commercial Plus pricing, also known as CPP, is based primarily on a shipping volume. For Priority Mail, the minimum volume threshold you have to commit to was reduced to 50,000 pieces a year. The lowest rates, however, are through negotiated service agreement, and Shipware leverages and provides NSA rates to our modal optimization clients. The advantages of doing this is that there's no minimum annual commitments, and you get those lower rates right away. So besides weight and zone pricing, which is the most common used, there are 3 volume-based options you should be aware of. The first is called flat rate, and with many different predefined packages and envelope sizes, if it fits, it ships for the same price regardless of distance zone. You must use the free packaging for this service. Regional flat rate has a different set of box sizes. The biggest difference is that zone rate is that it's zone rated and best suited for the inner zones, hence the name regional flat rate. You must use the free USPS produced packaging only for this. So the last of the volume options is known as simply as cubic, and it's only available to your CPP and NSA customers. Because you can use your own or free customized packaging, this is a very popular option for pick-and-pack operations where the rate is being determined at the point of shipment utilizing least-cost routing. So here we're going to get into the heart of the matter here. Here's a rate chart showing the new Priority Mail rates on the right. Notice the percentage improvement indicated by the green shaded cells. take a look at some of this. I'm going to pause just for a second. You can see discounts as high as 57%, and you can see it's in that those inner zones, zones going across the top, and the weights going up and down. Now let's compare the new CPP USPS priority mail rates to both FedEx and UPS ground list rates. So notice that the less expensive only for certain weights and zones. So the green shaded cell shows USPS CPP advantage up to 25 pounds. But however, nobody does it this way, right? There's always going to be discounts, which we don't know what your discounts are. But there's also a fair comparison on the B to consumer model is to include the residential surcharge and the fuel surcharges. So we've added that into this chart, and you'll see there's a dramatic change. The delta is very, very dramatic. You can see the triple-digit savings, and the savings extend all the way up to 39 pounds now. Almost done. And it takes me to my last strategy that I'll cover today. In order to modally optimize, to choose the right carrier for the right package to derive the fastest delivery at the lowest cost, many of you will need enabling technology. So explore ERP, e-commerce suite, TMS, and or multi-carrier manifesting options that will allow for carrier rate shopping. And virtually all of them will work and can work with Indicia running in the background. Be sure to use a carrier management system that determines the lowest cost based upon the dimensional characteristics along with the weights, zones, and accessorial charges. And it should be based upon your negotiated rates and surcharge concessions. And this is a great place to hand off to Jessica from Indicia, who's going to cover a bonus strategy to reduce costs and improve customer service, USPS returns. But first, I just want to do a quick review, and I'll conclude with several key takeaways. Your customers want you to provide them with low-cost or free shipping options, but they want to be presented with choices in carriers, costs, and delivery locations. Online consumers are willing to wait longer to receive packages in order to get a good deal and avoid high shipping charges. And there are multiple strategies you can explore to provide low cost or free shipping for at least some of your products. And these include offering maybe membership discounts or loyalty programs, offering free shipping or in-store pickups, building shipping costs into the product costs, offering free shipping for smaller and higher value products, and perhaps establishing a dollar value threshold to increase order values. I've encouraged you to explore modal optimization strategies to lower costs while improving service to selected portion of your carrier mix. And we've covered the most popular USPS services while exploring the landscape-changing events of lower priority mail rates with new ground DIM pricing. And finally, I've shown you ways to reduce your costs by negotiating key components of your parcel contract, exploring alternative locations for distribution centers, and implementing least cost routing technologies. The right combination of these strategies will help you reduce costs, improve delivery to your customers, increase cart conversions and order values, and enhance customer loyalty. And now, I'll turn the mic over to Jessica, who has some great information on return strategies using the United States Postal Service.
Great. Thank you, Gordon. Once again, hi, everybody. As Melissa mentioned at the beginning, my name is Jessica Foth, and I am a product marketing manager here at Indicia. I'm excited to share a little bit about how a strong return strategy can help, in addition to what Gordon's already recommended, can help reduce costs, gain efficiencies, and increase customer loyalty for e-commerce businesses. So with the volume of online purchases increasing, we see a shift from a try and buy to more of a buy and try mindset with consumers. And as a result, we see return frequency increasing year over year, with 62% of shoppers returning or exchanging items in 2013. That's up 11% year over year, and that's pretty significant. Now, having to return an item is never really the ideal outcome for a consumer, but it does present e-commerce businesses with the opportunity to leverage the returns experience as a relationship builder with customers. Shoppers know when they purchase that returning a product is a possibility, and they are really looking for vendors that make that process hassle-free. In fact, even after having to make a return, 64% would refer friends to a business if it made it easy or free to do so. And not only that, the impact to repeat business can also be substantial. Study found that 95% of consumers will do repeat business with an online seller following a positive returns experience. And on the flip side, and just as dramatically, 85% of customers won't consider purchasing from a merchant again if returning the product is considered inconvenient. And while it is true that buyers love free returns, it's not the only thing they care about when it comes to the process. So returns don't have to be free in order to create a positive customer experience. And we'll look a little bit at some options that businesses have. So what do consumers really want in a returns experience? Well, next to low cost or free, we find that buyers are looking for convenience most of all. More than 60% want a return label included with their original purchase, just in case they need to return it, and then they don't have to call in. But recognizing that this model doesn't work for all businesses, many businesses want to authorize a return before it happens. The good news is consumers would basically be just as happy with an easy-to-print return label they can print on their inkjet or laser printer at home, especially if the process for getting that return label is super easy to follow. In addition, buyers also want automatic refunds, as well as ideally flexibility when it comes to the way a product is returned. So if you have a return-to-store option, many buyers are interested in that too, if at all possible. So what can an e-commerce business do to create a positive returns experience? Well, the big thing is to create a return policy that really isn't overcomplicated and that shares the important details a buyer needs to know. When writing your return policy, use simple language and lay out the steps in an easy-to-understand fashion for requesting returns. Set a window of time for returns and be clear about that time frame on all of your documentation, both pre- and post-purchase. Explain which types of returns you will accept, as well as what will not be accepted, and if there are any requirements or specific information the consumer needs to give you in order to get a refund in your terms and conditions. If you are going to charge the customer for return shipping or deduct a restocking fee from their refund, just be clear about when this applies and what the expected charges will be. Most importantly, out of all of this, is to make sure the information is easy to find and available to consumers before they make their purchase. Not only will it help avoid unpleasant surprises after purchase, but we find that many shoppers review a returns policy before they buy, and without one, you could already be losing out on business. Now, when it comes to low-cost return shipping, and Gordon touched on this earlier, it's hard not to think of the U.S. Postal Service. They have the lowest rates for lighter weight packages and making it possible to offer return shipping to consumers at an economical price or even experiment with free return shipping without taking a big hit to your budget. Not to mention the convenience the Postal Service provides, and I see this as one of the biggest benefits when it comes to returns. Consumers can simply hand their package to their carrier or leave it in their mailbox if it fits. They could drop it in any blue USPS collection box they find on the street, or if they do need to go into the post office to drop it off, having that printed return label lets them do that without waiting in line. Businesses can also choose from a variety of return transit times with free tracking using the Postal Service. And this means you can get inventory back faster without spending a lot of money to make it happen. That means that you can issue refunds faster to your consumer, buyers are then happier, and you also have the inventory back in hand to get back on the market and sell again. Now, Indicia's expensive experience and technology makes it really easy to access these USPS benefits and enables our customers and e-commerce businesses to handle return shipping within the systems that work best for them without having to make a lot of adjustments to workflow. Now, one of the most exciting innovations we launched this year is essentially designed to do just that. Pay-on-use returns is a unique service available exclusively through Indicia, and it makes it possible for online sellers to create a positive and hassle-free return shipping experience, but removes the risk of losing money on unused prepaid shipping labels, which is what most USPS shipping labels are, or wasting time, spending valuable time monitoring for refunds on prepaid shipping labels and issuing them before those refund windows expire. Now, this is because the postage for pay-on-use return labels isn't actually paid for until the label is used and scanned in the mail stream. So if your return label is never used, your consumer decides to keep their product or just forgets to put it in the mail, you never pay for that shipping cost. And with Indicia, you have no minimum volume requirements. So this could be a game changer for mid-volume businesses, as well as high-volume businesses and low-volume businesses, really, to stay competitive in the growing e-commerce market. So by defining a clear returns policy and leveraging technology and new services, such as pay-on-use returns,
you have the opportunity to make returns work for you and help reduce costs,
increase efficiencies,
well, most importantly, growing customer loyalty. So with that, I will turn it back over to Melissa for Q&A.
Yes, hi, everybody. That was great. Great information about returns, as well as almost a briefing on the Postal Service from Gordon. So I just wanted to let everybody know we still have a good bit of time. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask. I know there was a bunch of you listening, which we appreciate. So if anyone has any questions, please send them. In the meantime, I have some questions. And basically, just so that you know, we also asked folks who signed up if they had any questions they wanted to ask. I'm going to pick from those actually right now, and then, you know, still please, we'd like to have as many questions as possible. In general, and this will go to Gordon, our listeners, or a bunch of our registrants, are really interested in just low cost tips. I mean, you did go through a lot of this again. You did go through a lot of that, obviously. That was sort of the main point of your presentation. But, I mean, could you just kind of mention two or three just like low-cost tips that they could use right now if they're thinking about shipping for the holidays?
Okay, be happy to. Well, there's lots of things that you can do. It's getting a little late to negotiate with the carriers, but there's still a lot of things you can do to negotiate, even on a short term. But, you know, these new rates from the Postal Service took effect on Monday. So, you know, right now, if you should take a look at your shipping dynamics and figure out what your cost per average package is and compare it to the Postal Service. Chances are it's going to get there the same time or faster if you look at your ground and three-day and even your two-day shipments. In addition, for those that use the deferred ground strategy, there's a lot of players in the marketplace who would love to compete for that business. And it often makes sense to separate both the under a pound from the over a pound and just mix it up a little bit, have some additional options as we roll into the holiday season.
Great. So the rates went into effect. So it's in the system. So if folks have an online site and they're using the Postal Service, or they're, you know, that information will be available like today, or they're more.
It should have been available.
Yeah,
it should have been available Monday. It's a good question. It was posted to U.S. Postal Service. The notice 123 has all the latest rates, which is available through the Explorer website. And I'm sure Indicia already had the rates already pushed out to all of their clients, as well as the meter manufacturers and such should have had everything in place for the users.
Right. Okay. Great. Let's see. What about international? We didn't really talk about that. That's obviously a hot topic for some retailers as a way to, you know, as an area of growth for some companies. Do you have any tips for economic international deliveries to the U.S. from other countries other than calling a freight forwarder? This would be for you.
Sure. If you have some pretty good volume going international, there's a lot of different strategies that we look at. So there are some international freight forwarders, as you mentioned, and some specialize in the under 4 pound category, while others will go for the full weight ranges. And shipping international can be rather confusing. Indicia makes it pretty easy in that they have the international reference guide online, which tells you the prohibitions, restrictions, and observations for every country in the world, what cities are served with the priority services and the guaranteed services and the like. One of the great opportunities is under 4 pounds, you can send international through first-class package services international. It goes up to 64 ounces, 4 pounds, and that's significantly less than the per-pound rates from the private carrier. So that is a great way to go. And there's also, if you're spending any amount of money, you can negotiate specialized contracts for international. You know, Shipware as part of our negotiated rates, we have access to the CPP pricing that's available for international spend. So we can actually get to CPP and in some cases even lower than CPP for some clients.
Great. Sticking with the international theme there, we did get a couple of questions about that. Mail forwarding, it's a hot topic in some places. It's using mail forwarding companies to ship large and expensive items overseas, risky business. What were you even saying?
Some of the mail forwarding companies are the biggest players in the marketplace, like DHL. They are the postal service in some countries, for Germany and such, and they have tremendous footprint overseas in Europe, with more trucks and so forth than the major carriers we have in this country. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. One of the concerns often is the delay of getting it into the system. So there's four processing centers that the post office have in the United States where international mail is sent out from the country. So the fastest you can get your products to those processing centers, which is Chicago, San Francisco, Miami, and New York. So the faster your line haul and your international packages can get to those hubs, the faster they'll get out. So that's something to consider.
Okay. Yep. Couple of questions for the folks in Indicia, kind of general questions, but, what might be good for the listeners. Jessica, so what is the cost for the Indicia Pay on Use return service for current Indicia accounts?
Yeah, good question. Pay on Use returns is available with an Indicia Professional subscription or an Indicia Label Server subscription, along with a handful of our integrated partners who have already built the service into their offerings. Outside of the cost of the postage, there is a 25-cent transaction fee for every scanned label. So, again, only if the label is used. And that's half of what UPS and FedEx charge for the same service. So we're really, really excited about this offering.
Cool. And along the same lines, is there a feature on Indicia that will automatically print the return label, or is it a manual process? So I guess kind of how does it work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and actually the answer is both. So it depends on how you want to print your label. We have shippers that are printing a return label with every outbound label, and in that case, you can set the software up to print the return label automatically for you. You can write rules in to specify a specific mail class or weight on the return package, or you can have the system just
reverse everything that you have on the outbound label for you. You don't have to do it manually.
Or if you're printing return labels on demand, in that case, you would want to do it manually. You want to enter the information and print it off. So you can do it either way. Essentially, it works the way your business needs it to work.
Great. Let's see. Going back to some of the questions directed to Gordon, it seems like a lot of people just want, I remember when I used to cover the Postal Service, this was always challenging. It seems like there's a lot of it's confusion as to where to get information. You did mention a website earlier. Maybe we should repeat that. But basically, the listeners want to know like where they can get a copy of the flat rate and regional USPS costs or the CPP pricing. Where do you go for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. So where you want to go is to the USPS Explorer, which is PE.USPS.com. And then from there, you can just click on the Notice 123 box. We could probably append the slide deck maybe with a link to it. I'd be happy to put that in there. But that does answer
that
a lot
great.
Of the questions that I see on the list. So in there, you'll see on the Priority Mail, all the different services the post office offer, and it's broken down between retail prices and commercial prices. In the commercial prices is where you'll find the listings for the base discount prices and the CPP prices. So all of the CPP prices are published here. And if you want to know what the volume requirements and so forth are, you'll have to dig a little deeper to get into some of that information. But
and anybody can get that Postal Explorer.
Anybody
can have access to that Postal Explorer. Okay, I wasn't sure if you had to be like a business user or something like that. Okay, then what about reducing costs for shipping within Canada? I know that's sort of different than the international that we talked about earlier. I guess there's some strategies out there that are... Yeah.
So the post office is a great strategy, again, for under 4 pounds. You know, you can do directly as a first-class package into Canada with very reasonable rates. You know, one of the things that comes into play when you're shipping to Canada is, you know, who pays the customs and brokerage fees. So when you ship to the post office, there's never any brokerage fees. And under 4 pounds, typically, well, I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, there's usually not any commodity charges or, you know, it usually just kind of goes through. But, you know, you are supposed to declare that stuff and pay customs duty on it as well. But, you know, whether you pay that up front or whether you have your client pay it is kind of a couple strategies when you go international. So with the post office, it's up to the recipient to pay those any customs fees. Whereas if you do go through the private carriers, you're paying brokerage and customs up front, which reduces the likelihood the package might be, you know, returned because of those fees. So it's something to consider, but it's a lot lower fees for the – because there is no brokerage fees when you go to the post office. There are some, as we mentioned, some of the consolidators. So a lot of the parcel collect players have a very – deep footprint into Canada. So Purolator, which almost like runs Canadian or the Canadian Post, is a huge player in the Canadian market. And they are also a parcel select player, if I didn't mention it before, and can provide inbound and outbound in the United States as well as Canada. Some of the other players like Newgistics, and I'm sure some of the other ones I know have great programs for inducting into Canada as well.
And where did you, I think, I know you mentioned this earlier, the consolidator. Is there a place to go to get that information?
Well, if you Google parcel select providers or parcel select consolidators would be one way to do it. Certainly anyone's welcome to contact us. We'd be happy to push them in the right direction as well.
Right.
One of the slides lists all those, a lot of those parcel select providers on one of the slides in the presentation.
Yeah, you could have a list. I just thought maybe there was another resource. Okay, one more question for Jessica. Do you guys offer cubic rates in your offering?
Yeah, Indicia supports all of the commercial plus rates offered by the Postal Service, including cubic rates. So if customers have access to cubic rates, they can print those labels and use that rating system through our software.
And just to add to that, the enabling technology, if you enter the dimensions along with the weight, the enabling technologies, the companies, the software programs that use Indicia in the background will compute the best way. You know, so if the cubic option is less expensive than the weight and zone option, it will automatically select that.
Oh, interesting. That's good to know. We don't have any other questions, but I did want to ask you, Gordon, one quick one. It's kind of just a topical question. I know that the news of today was, there's obviously a lot of postal news today, but there was some news earlier this morning about how USPS is partnering with Amazon on grocery delivery. Did you get a chance to look at that? And I just wanted to know what your take would be on that, because that seems like quite a project.
Well, it is quite interesting. MetroPost, which was the name of the service that was announced some time ago, they did a trial in San Francisco, and it failed miserably. They just didn't get the traction. They only got like 95 packages. But now, with partnering with Amazon, they're going to get the traction. You know, they've got a committed partner, and they're going to be able to make it happen. Whether it's going to be called MetroPost, we don't know. But it is going to be, you know, Sunday delivery. Is included. And Sunday delivery, as many of you know, has been rolled out for parcel select and priority mail packages to selected cities across the country. And Amazon has been using them quite extensively. It was quite a thrill one time when I ordered a package before 12 o'clock noon on a Saturday, and it actually arrived on a Sunday. And I was blown away. And the interesting thing is I actually asked the carrier, I said, you know, are you a career employee? It's like, no, I only work Sunday. So there are non-career employees. But it gets to utilize those same trucks and the same system that's out there. So it makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
It's a great opportunity for the post office to grow their volume and presence.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching it closely because I think it's so interesting. Well, I think that's probably about all we need to cover today. So, and it looks like we're about just about almost out of time. So I think I'm going to end this webinar. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Indicia, I want to thank, first of all, our wonderful speakers, and also I want to thank listeners for attending today's webinar and being so attentive and asking such great questions. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information about all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And if you would just take a quick minute to fill out a brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, that would be great. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. So with that, good afternoon, everybody, and have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.